Hey everyone, welcome to the Basically Bookish podcast. I'm Abby.
And I'm Ashley, and we're going to be chatting all things bookish. This is episode 33 of the Basically Bookish podcast, and today we are talking about connecting with authors, and we have a guest, Courtney Walsh, is with us today, so welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, so I thought that you would be perfect for this topic because, in my opinion, I feel like you do your social media so well that we feel like we're friends with you.
Thank you. I like friends.
We're like, yeah, Courtney Walsh, she's great. She's my friend. And you're like, who are these randos that think that we're friends? Just kidding. Okay, so what is your favorite way to connect? I guess I'll just start out there because I think that obviously things have changed in the last 10 years or so.
Right.
I would think it's more online connecting, but I don't know. Like, what's your experience with that?
I definitely think online makes it easier. When I was first starting writing, my first book came out in 2012. And at that time, it was like, find readers and get in front of them. Like, that was kind of the marketing advice that we were given. And just in the last, like, even since then, I mean, not even 10 years, it's just really changed to where that whole idea of find readers and get in front of them, just how you're doing it. It's not like we have to travel around and have big events, although those are really fun. I think it's fun to do things that are in person, but the ease, social media makes it so much easier to connect with people. And so personally for me, I have chosen really just two forms of social media that I focus on, and that's Instagram and Facebook. And Facebook is less, I have like a reader room there where that's a little more, it's just a smaller, it's not that it's like that I want to have like this really tiny group, but it's just like more concentrated. Like, you have to join it if you like. So I know I'm talking to people who are reading my books or like my books. So I don't feel like I'm you know, if it was like your regular social media profile and you're like, yeah, my dad's customer from 2 years ago is on this page. I don't think he really cares about my book. You know what I mean? So you know you're talking to your reader and or two. And then Instagram, like the whole Bookstagram community, I think has been just really fun to get to know a little bit better and get more involved with. So those are kind of where I focus my attention. I don't do anything on Twitter. I know a lot of authors love Twitter. I personally do not like it.
I don't like it either.
I can't figure it out. I'm just going to be totally honest. I can't figure it out. I cannot figure out how to make myself talk in such short,
I know,
short bits of information. But also, I, especially like this last year, it didn't matter if I was following somebody and they decided to get political, I saw everything they liked, every political post they liked. And I was like, I'm not following these people. Why are they showing up in my feed? And I get so, that's not why I want to do social media. So that is, you know, definitely not for me. So
I feel like Twitter is not like a good connecting place. Like, it's just a place to put your opinions.
Yeah. It's the place you go if you're mad that like Chipotle forgot to give you sour cream. Like, it's not a place you go to like actually talk to people.
Oh, yeah. I don't like Twitter at all. I just can't. Ugh. I just need more words than what they're giving me. I don't like to be stifled. I mean, I don't even feel like I say that much. I think it's just feeling like you can't. You just want to say more.
Right, right, exactly.
Okay, so here's a good one. Do you like it when readers send you messages about your books while they're reading them? Because here's my confession. I do this, and I do it to you. But is this one of those things that you're like, that's amazing, it's great? Or are you like, gosh, I wish this girl would stop telling me that she loves this character so much? I mean, obviously, like, if it's bad stuff, nobody should be sending that. But like, is it fun? Or are you like, once you put the book out, you're like, just leave me be.
No, I like it. I think it's really fun when people will do that, and they'll, so I'll be totally honest. If I'm in the middle of writing another book, sometimes I'm like, wait, what are you talking about? Like, because you just so easily, like, you know, get into a different story. Like, in it, I mean, a lot of times if you're publishing traditionally, you're putting books out so far, like, you know, you have to put the books out, mm-hmm. so far ahead of time, and so it just ends up being really tricky to kind of like stay focused on what you need to do and everything like that. So I think it's fun though to, like, then you get to kind of experience it along with the reader, which I think is really fun. So yeah, I don't know. I don't get annoyed by that stuff.
I'm like, in my head, that's how it was going down, but like, I don't know if that was reality.
We'll just hope everyone else feels the same, because we tend to message people.
No, so, I don't know of any author who would be like, you know what I mean? Like, annoyed, yeah, by that in any way.
I feel like, I don't know, when I first got into Bookstagram, I really felt like, and maybe other people too, that it was like a big deal, like, to message an author. It was almost like, gosh, should I do this? I don't know if I should do this. Like, they're busy, they're important. But I always tell people, just send a message. Like, if you're loving their book, or if you have something kind to say or an encouragement, send it. Because I feel like, honestly, sometimes the authors that you get to see more of their personality and who they are, like, it kind of draws you to check out their books more, is how, yeah, I look at it.
That's how I would look at it too. And I don't think I'm alone in this. I think a lot of authors, like, they're looking at their readers as, like, people that they would like to get to know. I mean, I feel that way. I mean, and I think when I started, I didn't maybe understand the opportunity just to meet new people and, like, hear what they love. And, like, it's so great. Like, sometimes I'll throw up, like, a brainstorming question in my reader room, and the stuff that people come up with, like, from their own life or just their ideas, I'm like, what? But I mean, the other thing is, like, so my most recent book, Is It Any Wonder, has a Coast Guardsman in it. So this is a good example of why it's good to have reader author connection. I just put it out there in my reader room, and I said, hey, does anyone have a connection with someone in the Coast Guard? Because I don't know the Coast Guard. Like, I live in Illinois. We don't have the Coast Guard here. So I was trying to research it, and somebody said, yeah, my husband is an officer in the Coast Guard. He would love to answer questions for you. And I kid you not, if he had not done that, my book would have been a disaster, because some of the stuff that I had in there, he I kind of, like, set up the preface for him. I sent it to her. She sent it to him. And the feedback I got was, this would never happen. Oh, like, oh, okay. So, I mean, I also think you have to remember too, that authors are just people. I mean,
yeah,
like, we create these stories and live in these, like, story worlds in our mind. But I mean, I'm the same way, because I'm also a reader, and there are certain authors that, like, when I read one of their books, I almost always, if I love a book, I'm going to reach out to that author and be like, hey, I just wanted you to know, I loved this. This was so good. This is what I loved about it. You know what I mean? The only time I would say don't do that is if you didn't like something, yeah, that you kind of alluded to. I think that gets a little more challenging when it's like, here are all the things I hated about your book. It's,
yeah,
like, oh, okay, delete. I don't want to read that.
No one needs that.
No, that I don't need that negativity in my life.
We've had a couple of people send messages on the podcast account and be like, I didn't particularly care for it. And I'm like, why did you even say it?
Yeah,
I
have to agree. I mean, I do think people really like to have their opinion heard.
Yeah.
And I think that it's important to hear opinions. But I think instead of going, like, so say you have an issue with something an author wrote, maybe talk to someone else who read the book, as opposed to going directly to the author. Don't, yeah, tag the author on Instagram and tell them how much you hated their book. I mean,
that's so weird.
That, I know, it is weird.
I would never think to do that. I'm always, like, shying away from the conflict. If I didn't like something, I'm like, maybe if I just kind of ignore it, it'll go away.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have to put that out there.
No, I feel like that's kind of the code with like bookstagrammers and reviewers, mm-hmm. you can still promote it even if you didn't love it. You don't have to like say bad things about it.
Right, right.
I don't know. Okay. Let's see. What else do I have here? Okay, I saw a post the other day by some company. It was like a graphic and it got me to thinking, so I want to ask you about this. Do you like being tagged in posts, pictures, and reviews? Because their advice was to not tag authors at all. And especially not if it's bad. I mean, I think that, no, you shouldn't be tagging people if your review isn't kind. But
right.
I was like, I am so tag happy on all of my pictures and all the things, because in my mind, it's more promotion for a book or an author or a launch. And so I never thought, is this appropriate? Do they like this? I just thought any promotion is good as long as it's like, you know,
positive,
kind. But right. They were kind of saying no. And I was like, hold the phone here. Maybe I've been doing this wrong.
I mean, I can only speak for myself. And, you know, I think a lot of my author friends would agree. I don't mind it at all. I mean, I think if, and in fact, I do like it. Like if I don't, I'll just put it out there. I don't read my reviews at all. Like if I go and look at Amazon, I'm not going to click on my reviews and read through them. I see authors do that. I think it's a really great way to get into your own head.
Yeah.
And so I just, I learned that lesson really early on. Like, I don't really have the makeup, the emotional makeup to be able to handle this. So I'm just going to stay away from it. And so I also think if you're tagging, especially like on Instagram, well, then you've just given me a really beautiful image that I can share on in my stories or on my feed with permission and with, you know, tagging me back. And I think that's all part of the community of Instagram. I just would say the only thing it would blow up in your face is, it, like you said, if it's a negative review. And I'm not saying you shouldn't put a negative review out there. If you really didn't care for something and you're a book reviewer, you have to share your opinion. Just don't mm-hmm. tag the author. Yeah. And know that that author could still stumble upon it. I mean, that's the
other thing.
If you don't love something, I think it's important to be able to say, because, you know, you want to be honest. And if you love everything you share, people are going to be like, can I trust your opinion? Are you just getting some books? Are you whatever? And I think it's important to be honest. But I also think that you can say it in a way that isn't hurtful, you know?
Yeah.
And okay with that author potentially finding out, reading it, then that's fine. But I just wouldn't go out of your way to tag them in that. But I never mind it. I think it's fun. I love seeing the creativity that comes through Bookstagram, like the photos that are taken. And I'm just in awe of it. I'm like, how do you make a book look even prettier? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Some people are so like talented with all of their props, and they have fancy cameras, and it's just like amazing that they're these probably amateur, but they're beautiful photographers.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. For you, has social media with your writing journey, author, being an author, like, has it been more of a benefit or a burden? Like, do you feel like it's a lot to keep up with? Or, you know, like you're saying, like if people are crazy and they're sending you random messages that are mean, or like, has it been more of like, it's an encouragement to see the books floating around in the world and the nice messages that people send? Like, I know that there's two sides to every coin, but thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think once I realized that I didn't have to do every single possible social media that's out there, it became a lot more enjoyable to me. Like, I actually discovered I really love Instagram. Like, I actually like it. I feel like I can connect with people. I think having the stories and like just interacting with people in my direct messages, like it, that just is fun, you know, that just has become fun to me. And I think I'm like not super social in my real life, but more social online. So it also is like this great, especially this last year, this great connection to people when you can't really connect with people, you know, in real life, face to face. And so I really haven't looked at it as a burden once I kind of freed myself up and said, Twitter's just not for you. Like, I haven't been on Twitter. If you send me a direct message on Twitter, I probably will never see it. Like, I just do not get on there. It's like more to protect my mental health than anything. Cause I'm like, I see things and they make me worried. And then I'm like, oh my gosh. And so once I kind of freed myself up from having to be everywhere all the time, then it was like, this is actually really fun. Like, I actually really enjoy this. I like thinking of fun things to post on Instagram that are going to get people talking and get people engaging with me, because it just feels like this like little, you know, social party, which is not me in real life at all. So that's been kind of fun.
Yeah. I feel like Bookstagram is definitely like the social place for introverts.
Yes. That's a really good way to put it.
And have fun and like talk to all these people, but from behind our screens. And when we're done, we could just turn off our phone and walk away.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And you don't have to wear makeup and you don't have to get dressed.
The amount of times I'm like on stories, like talking, I mean, not that I have a lot of followers, but like talking and I'm like, no makeup, my hair looks like ridiculously like disheveled. And I'm like, I would never like go somewhere like this, but yeah, here I am.
Yeah, I'm putting myself out on the internet.
Yeah. I feel like social media is Bookstagram is good for the introverts for sure.
I agree.
Obviously you probably haven't done a lot of like in person connecting with readers in the last year. So has that been something that has changed in the last year as far as like how you connect with, say, like a book club or readers? Obviously there's not been a lot of conferences to go to. Things are just a little bit different. And I mean, is that something that has been different? Or if you're like me, I'm like, woohoo, I don't have to see people.
Right, right. Well, I mean, I think 2020 was going to be my biggest like travel year. I was actually going to teach at two different places. And like, I had other reader events in place. Like it actually was, after all of these years, the first year that I feel like I had really well planned. Like our business was really well planned date wise. We had everything worked out. Our calendar was gorgeous. And now I was just like, I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'll never plan anything again. And I definitely think one of the good things that I think has come out of it is that we can connect with people. We've learned that we can connect with people in different ways. So I know a lot of authors are doing like Zoom chats with book clubs and, you know, maybe they would never be able to actually travel. And I think some of that went on before, but I just think now it's just much more normal, you know, like it's very easy to like hop on a Zoom and chat with a book club as opposed to, you know, having to like get on a plane and travel somewhere. So it just makes everything, it feels a little bit more accessible, I think, because of that. So and I mean, I think a lot of authors are more introverted. And so I know for me, I love events once I get there, but the anticipation of an event stresses me out and I get really anxious. I'm just like, what is going on? You're going to have fun. It will be fine. But not having that, you know, pressure of, you know, getting ready for something, I do think is a little bit kind of wonderful, you know, but I say that all to also add, I don't think there's anything that can replace really face-to-face connection with people. I mean, even though it's hard to put yourself out there, I think there's just something kind of wonderful about meeting people in real life. So I'll just,
I'm like, I wonder if I would be awkward meeting people in real life, like authors.
I have met
a lot of them, but I feel like I might be awkward because in person I'm a lot more reserved. So
yeah,
I'd probably be the most boring person that you would meet.
And they probably feel the same way. I mean, I know I do. I feel like sitting and talking, it would be like, you'd be like, after 2 minutes, you'd be like, there's nothing really interesting happening here.
But that's the great thing about like reader and like author events. Like, you're there to talk about books, which is the thing. Right. Is, like, if we can talk about anything for a long time, it's books.
So, right.
Like, I mean, at the like few readers retreats that I've gone to, like I had that worry. I'm like, I'm not going to be able to say anything. I'm awkward. This is going to be weird. And then it was like, not that at all. And I was just like, chatting with people left and right.
Well, so, and I think the same thing is true in writers conferences. You know, like as a writer, I try to go to at least one conference a year. And there's just nothing like being around people who love the same thing and do the same thing you do. Because, you know, in my real life, I don't actually know a lot of other authors like that are here locally. And yeah. So being able to surround yourself by people who just get you and how your brain works, whether you're a reader or a writer, that is just kind of wonderful. So yeah, I agree. Just being able to connect and talk about the things that you love there's a lot of value in that, I think.
Yeah, I would imagine. It kind of makes you feel like you're not out on an island alone.
Yeah,
for sure. Well, the same kind of weird.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, these are my people. We're all socially awkward together.
Okay, I feel like based on just looking at your social media, like one of the reasons that I think, at least personally, and probably other people are drawn to you is because I feel like you are very genuine. Like you just kind of share who you are. It's not, I mean, your feed is beautiful, but I don't feel like it's a show, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. Like yeah. you're sharing part of your life and your stories, like you give us like, my grocery store is out of creamer again.
Yeah.
And all of just the random things that make you like a real person. So how do you decide like what to share and like what to keep to yourself? Or are you just within reason, like all bets are off, this is who I am, take it or leave it?
Well, you know, this is a really conscious thing that I decided years ago when we were in ministry. And when you're in ministry, I mean, I think for me at that time, I really felt like you can't really influence a person's life if you're not willing to be real with them. Nobody mm-hmm. really is going to connect with you if they think your life is perfect all the time. And nobody, and I think especially somebody who's hurting. So if you're in ministry and you've got people who are hurting and broken and they're looking for somewhere to like process that, and you're supposed to be the person to help them process that. If you put out this air of my life is perfect, everything's wonderful here, you know, then I don't really think a person can like step into that and feel compelled to really even share. Because yeah. they're going to feel like, oh my gosh, my life is so broken and messy. Their life is perfect. They're going to look at me and think X, Y, Z. And so I decided, and we're not in ministry anymore, but at that time I made a conscious decision that I wasn't going to put on any airs. I was going to be very transparent. If we were dealing with something, if we were struggling with something, if I was struggling with something, I was going to just put it out there. And I mean, I've been pretty honest about some of my own, you know, struggles and issues. And I think that that's really critical to connect with actually people, whether you're an author or just a human being, you know, like in a friendship. Yeah. I mean, have you ever had a friend where you're like, you're going and like, you'll tell them something that's bothering you or that you're struggling with, and they come back at you with how perfect their life is. I mean, you're not going to really want to keep sharing with them. No. So I think it is tricky. There are some things that you feel like, you know, whether it's somebody else's privacy you don't want to invade or something that's just kind of a taboo topic. I mean, I have we work with teenagers, so I have teenagers that follow me. So I don't necessarily need them to know some of my like female problems, yeah. health issues. I don't necessarily need to go into great detail, but if you sat down and talked to me, I would probably tell you all of it. I just don't have a lot of like, I don't feel the need to keep a whole bunch of stuff to myself. And yeah. I know not everybody feels that way. But I think in order to really connect with people, I think it's important to be able to open up and say, you know, here are the things that I'm struggling with, you know? So yeah. That's what I try to do. And I mean, some of it's really lighthearted and like my peppermint mocha creamer was gone for like 6 weeks and I was like, what am I going to do? And that's a genuine problem in my world. But I mean, other things, you know, my daughter was diagnosed with thyroid cancer and I was like, do I keep this to myself? Is this something that I want to process on my own? And I was like, I'm a writer. So I process things through writing. And so that's kind of what I did was mm-hmm. process a lot of that out in the open. And I always made sure she was okay with it, but you know, it was something that I think people then I've had people reach out to me about their thyroid issues. And I'm just sort of like, I know stuff about this now, I can help. And I like that I can. So, yeah. I don't know. People might look at me and go, oh my gosh, she doesn't like, she just puts everything out there. I can't believe she said that on social media, but I don't really care. I'm okay with it, you know?
I don't think you share anything super outlandish. I just think you're very genuine. So,
well, thank you for that.
That's how I see it, as if my opinion is important.
It is very.
Abby, do you have any questions before I move to these get to know you questions, which I'm just dying to do?
No, I think you got all the stuff you were planning to talk about. I'm kind of curious what questions you came up with this week.
Okay, the questions aren't like that great. I just love like these random questions. Like get to know yous are fun.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Okay. What is your Starbucks order?
Well, most recently, my daughter has discovered, okay, let me think if I can even say it out loud. Like I can remember what order it goes in. It's a shaken cinnamon, brown sugar, oat milk, iced coffee or something like that.
I've heard of that one.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's a new one that they just came out with, but we bought her an espresso machine, so she actually learned how to make it at home. So now I don't even have to go and spend money on Starbucks.
That's winning.
Which is kind of wonderful, yeah.
Abby, you're not getting coffee, but what are you getting if you roll up to Starbucks?
On the rare occasions that I go to Starbucks, I usually get an iced chai latte. And if I'm feeling fancy, I'll put some cinnamon syrup in it.
Oh.
I would drink that.
I think I'm going to be pouring and just get like a latte, a plain latte.
That's okay. Those are good too. Anything that caffeinates you.
Yeah. I mean, I can do almond milk or not. It doesn't matter to me. Mm-hmm. I think for a while I thought that I had like a milk aversion, but I don't think it's real. I just have so many other like digestive issues that it's not the milk. It's just everything.
Yeah. So. I'm allergic to dairy. So that's another reason I kind of stay away from Starbucks because sometimes they mess up and they give you dairy and then you're sick. So it's like, ugh. So making it at home is a little safer.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You can live in the setting of one TV show. Where would you live?
Oh my goodness. Well, the first place that came to my mind, oddly enough, is Chesapeake Shores.
I knew you were going to say that. I was like, she's going to take my answer.
And I mean, I definitely binge watched that show over the course of this quarantine. And then I wanted to watch it again and it wasn't streaming. So I bought it.
Watched it. I may be a season behind, but I'm not sure when it starts airing. But we have to take a side moment and talk about the grandma. Once you hear the faltering accent, you cannot go back.
I don't know where she's supposed to be from.
She's like in Southern some Irish.
Episodes, she's from Ireland. Other episodes, she's literally from the South. I'm like, I do not understand what you're doing. It was almost like they said, let's try the accent. And then they realized she couldn't do it. And they were like, never mind. And so she then they got like, rid of it. But
yeah, half an Irish brogue and half a Southern drawl.
It's so weird. It is so weird.
Abby, you've got to find a way to watch this show. I mean, the show is good, but the grandma is just, she's over the top.
It's too much. Yeah.
I know it's bad, but I kind of for a while was like, she'll probably die soon. She's old. Like, not the actor, but, like, the character.
They'll kill off the grandma, yeah.
And we won't have to listen to her talk anymore. But so she's still hanging on.
She's still there. Yeah.
You gotta watch out for those Irish Southern people. They're strong constitutions.
Oh, they're a dime a dozen. It's very weird.
Where are you living, Abby, since we're in Chesapeake Shores?
First thing that came to mind was just Stars Hollow.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't go wrong. Like,
no.
I'm surprised I didn't think of that one because I just rewatched Gilmore Girls. So I would definitely live there too.
Yeah, that one's a good one.
I think I would have to accustom myself with the nosiness of all the neighbors, but I feel like it's kind of like that in my neighborhood. They're all nosy. JJ was cleaning the gutters and he got so mad the other day. He was like, why do people in this neighborhood just stop their car and stare whenever you're doing something?
Oh my
goodness. I was like, why do you care if they're watching you clean the gutters? Like, just do your thing. But okay, next question. You have $100 to spend on yourself on anything just fun. What are you buying?
Workout clothes. I do. I am completely addicted. I helped out with something at the school and they wanted to get me a gift card. So they asked my husband and she was like, get her a gift card to Dick's Sporting Goods. She wants to go shopping for workout clothes. I have a little addiction. I don't know what that is.
They're just so fun.
I know. I love them. And I would rather wear them every day than anything else. Like, I do not like wearing, I'm wearing jeans right now. And I'm like, why am I wearing jeans? What am I doing? It's Sunday. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I would just go with books or candles. The basic.
Both good things.
Yeah.
I'm
like, for me, I've been eyeing this manicure set from Olive in June, and it's pricey. But I want it. But it's so frivolous, and I just can't, like, bring myself to buy the whole thing. So I'd probably buy that, because in life I can't justify spending, like, $60 on a kit to get my nails done at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably that.
That's a good one.
Yeah. See, I have specific things in mind. I just will never buy them.
Yeah.
You just need somebody to give you $100.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Least favorite vegetable.
I like most vegetables. My goodness, I can't even really think of anything since I have had a lot of like issues with my digestive tract over the years and my adrenals, and I have had to do a lot of like elimination diets and stuff like that. So I've gotten up to the point where I'm like, I can pretty much eat any vegetable. I'm not a huge fan, honestly, of like lettuce. I eat a lot of salad, but like, I'm not a giant fan of lettuce. But everything else is pretty much fair game, honestly.
Okay.
I'm sitting here having the exact opposite problem. I'm like, which one do I like the least? Like,
I hate them all.
I mean, the most like general one that I don't like that everyone does like is carrots. I don't like carrots.
Oh, interesting.
So, I've never liked them, and I don't think I ever will.
Yeah.
So that's probably the most like common one that's in everything that I'm like, ugh.
That's fun.
I'm trying to decide between cauliflower and kale. They're both such trendy vegetables. I think the fact that they're so trendy makes me hate them even more.
Yeah.
I don't like cauliflower because it tries to like masquerade as other things, and that annoys me. Yeah. And everybody went on that big kale kick. Kale, kale, kale. And now Chick-fil-A's doing it too. They have kale in a salad. I don't know. I also don't really like beets that much.
Oh, you know what? Yeah. Beets taste like dirt. I don't like
they
beets.
Do. They taste like eating a spoonful of earth, and I just can't.
Yeah, they do. I have to agree with you there.
I think probably beets. Because, I mean, the others aren't my favorite, but it's not like eating dirt.
No. Yeah. Beets are disgusting.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Okay. What's your favorite way to relax?
I think sitting on my back porch and reading is my favorite. I mean, I kind of learned like over vacations, like the best thing for me to do to just like unwind is just to read and like not worry about anything else. And that's hard to do when you're at home, but I've tried to be more intentional about doing it because I think rest is really important. Like, especially when you've got like a busy schedule, I think you have to give yourself a day or at least a few hours in the afternoon to just kind of like unwind, and that's definitely my favorite way to do it. But I also do, I mean, it's taken me a long time to admit this because growing up TV was such a bad thing, but I love TV.
Yeah.
And like, you know, TV was like, don't put your kid in front of the TV and all, you're gonna be lazy and all this stuff. But I mean, I love story, and so, and I was a theater major, so I think there's a part of me that loves to watch story, so TV and movies would probably be right up there with that.
Yeah,
I feel like that's the exact same answer. I'm like, either reading out on my porch swing or like watching a reality TV show and crocheting, where I feel like I'm being slightly productive. So I don't like, but it's also a relaxing activity. So
yeah, so you're not getting like super stressed out by it.
Exactly. Just
totally.
Because we would be really good on like a little like relaxing retreat together, because I would say the same thing, like binging a Netflix something or just reading in a quiet space.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need no responsibility. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like this next question is like null and void at this point. I'm going to ask it anyway, but I think that you've said this over the course of the conversation. Are you a planner or a procrastinator?
I'm definitely a procrastinator. Like, oh, I like that's well, that's why last year was so bonkers, because I was like, we have a plan. Like, oh my gosh, we actually like got our act together, finally figured it out. Like, I'm talking like about our business and my writing. Like, I had a great plan in place, but it's actually pretty rare. Like, I am much more of a, can I wait till tomorrow to do that? Because I don't feel like doing that right now.
Yeah.
It's not my best trait, I will say.
I feel like I'm a mix of the two. Like, I like to have a plan and I like there to be plans, but I also am like such a procrastinator. Mm-hmm. Like, it just depends on what it is. Like, I like most things planned out, but if it can be procrastinated, I'm going to.
I get that.
I feel like I'm a planner in that I have a plan to get things done. I'm not like a big list maker, but I don't feel like I can relax until I have a certain amount of things accomplished that I feel like are necessities. Mm-hmm. And so it leads to me like never taking a break, because yeah. I plan certain things and then I have to get them done before I can like sit down and relax for the day. So I think I'm a planner, I would say, but not like super, super crazy about it. Okay. I know you love TV, so I had two TV questions.
Okay.
One TV show that deserves a reboot.
The West Wing.
Oh, yeah.
I love that show. And it was so good. I really, really rarely rewatch shows. I have done more of that in the last, like, probably couple of months just because I haven't had anything to watch. But I purposefully rewatched The West Wing. I've watched the whole thing through twice, and I just didn't get sick of it at all. It's so good. It's so well written. So I would love to see that get a reboot.
That'd be good. I'd be there.
Yeah.
Unless it got way political. I mean, it was never super political one way or another. And that's what I loved about it.
Yep. I think that's why it worked. They never really they had really good topics that they dealt with, but I just thought they handled it all so well. I definitely
did
wouldn't
you
want to really
watch Madam Secretary.
I watched I think two or three seasons of that, and I really liked that one. I'm thinking about going back and like starting that one again, because I never did finish it.
That's the closest I've seen to like a West Wing type feel. But what are you rebooting?
Well, the one I normally say is actually getting rebooted, so Leverage is the one that actually is getting a reboot.
It is?
Yeah, they have it, like, almost all the cast is coming back, too.
Oh my goodness, I didn't know that.
Except for Timothy Hutton, everyone's back.
What is the show? I don't know this. What is
it? Good. It's good.
No, it's,
Ashley
I mean...
Johnson.
Why? I don't know.
We'll have a discussion. You need to watch this.
Okay.
This can be our new show. I'm starting to rewatch it anyway.
It's good. Yeah. We like that one.
Interesting. Gosh, I asked this question and I don't have an answer. yeah, I know. It's ridiculous. I mean, here's what I want to say. Can we erase the Gilmore Girls reboot that was horrific and reboot the reboot?
Yes,
or please. The horrible, did you ever do the Veronica Mars?
Yes.
Oh, I want to go back in time and erase that too.
Loved the original series of Veronica Mars.
Oh,
and I was so disappointed by the reboot movie, whatever it was.
My sister got to the last episode and I said, stop. Once you see it, you can. She never has watched the end.
Yeah, that's me with Parenthood. I never watched the last episode of Parenthood.
It's like it doesn't happen if you don't watch the end.
Nope, it did not happen.
Yeah, I think I would probably reboot either the Gilmore Girls or the Veronica Mars because I loved both of those shows, but the reboots did not do anyone any favors.
No, I completely agree. Those are good picks.
Okay, last question. Your current or most recent fiction read?
My current one, maybe you guys will be jealous. I'm reading a not yet published manuscript, a new YA by Katie Ganchert.
Oh,
that I'm loving. It's totally not my normal genre. Like, I pretty much always read the same genres, which I know is probably not smart, but
for their time.
I'm really loving it. And then before that, though, I listened to the book Love in Other Words by Christina Lauren. And I found that because on Instagram, somebody was doing a buddy read. And I was like, what the heck is a buddy read? I've never heard of this. So it's just when you just read with other people. And I was like, what a concept. I just had never heard it called that before. So they were doing an older Christina Lauren book. And I was like, well, I haven't read this one. I'll try it. And I really enjoyed it. It was good.
That's fun. Yeah. Abby and I did my first buddy read with Abby. And it was only been a couple
that's how we met.
Years ago.
Oh, that's fun.
We read an awful book together.
Oh, I've heard you guys talk about this before. I'm really tempted to ask what the book was, but maybe not while we're being recorded.
I'll send you it was a historical, no worries.
Okay.
This author doesn't need us to be popular and it's fine.
Yeah. Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. I am reading A Proper Scoundrel by Esther Hatch.
Gosh, it's so good.
It's so freaking good. And I have literally yelled it, like, I was reading it while waiting to do this, and then Ashley, like, started and, like, sent me the link, and I was like, I was right in the middle of the scene! And she's like, oh, I'm sorry, that's a good scene.
That's funny. Yeah,
thoroughly enjoying it.
It's, like, the best parts of, like, that kind of book, because he's very, kind of, he's a scoundrel. But not really. And there's flirting and banter. And it's just all the good things. If you like, you don't read a lot of historical, do you?
I don't know, but I should. Like, I love historical television and movies. So I'm like,
you would like this book. You would like Esther Hatch because she adds the witty banter into
her
books.
I would love that then. Yeah.
It's not just like boring, like balls and gowns. It's like she's got humor and sarcasm with her characters. What am I reading? I'm reading a Josie Kilpack book. It's Love and Lavender, I think, is the name of it. I don't know. So far, I've only read a few pages, and there's a situation where they're not really cousins, but they're calling each other cousin, and they're supposed to get together, so I'm weirded out by that. But
ooh, that is weird. That's the downside of historical.
I know, I'm like, I get it that you're not blood related, so let's stop calling each other cousins, because it's getting weird for me. I think it'll probably be good, because I've liked the rest of the series, but I just need them to stop saying cousin to each other.
Yeah. I agree with that completely.
I just want to forget that that's even a thing. Well, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having
fun.
Me.
Yeah.
Fun. Good little break.
Your book just came out. Do you have something coming soon or?
Well, I'm working on something I would like to. So I do hybrid. So I have my traditional books that come out. This one just came out, and then I'll have another one next April. But then I'm trying to, I want to publish an indie book yet this year. So that's what I'm working on now.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is it any wonder? Is that?
Yeah.
I get the two confused. If for any reason and Is It Any Wonder are the two in the Nantucket series.
Yes.
I just finished that one on audiobook a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I did the audio while I was getting ready for work in the mornings, and it was a great way to like bump up my reading. Well, it's reading, but you know.
I love audio for that. Yeah.
I was like, I can do this and multitask and get through more books.
That's how I clean my house.
I need to do more of it. And obviously everyone can find you on social media.
Yeah.
Just
I'm there. A little too much.
Aren't we all?
Listen,
procrastinating.
We love your stories. Don't stop doing them. Are you going to start doing reels? Because that's like the thing. And I'm not going to start doing them. But
I just can almost promise you will never see me dancing in a reel. Like that is...
Same.
I am far too old for that. But yeah, when I see them, I'm like, I get it. I get that they're like really popular, but I'm like, I think you have to do them well. Otherwise,
I really kept hoping they'd just go away.
You know, I don't think they're going to go away. I think they're here to stay.
No.
We might have to figure it out.
There needs to be like a reels boot camp for all of us that are like afraid and not that talented at reels.
I don't think they're the greatest for introverted people.
No,
really putting yourself out there.
You have to film yourself like 100 times and use all of the leftover stuff on your phone to hold all of the takes.
Yep, you do. Yeah.
It's cringy. Mm-hmm. I did it once and my kids were like, Mama, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm just like, I can't.
It's bizarre.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for chatting. Thanks for coming on. It was super fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Sorry, I'm awkward coming off. I don't know how to do it better.
It's all right. I think what you do is you just say, I'm awkward coming off, and goodbye.
Yeah.
That's just the way to do it. There's no good way to exit.
Yeah, nope. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this episode.
You can find us on Instagram at Basically Bookish Podcast. Hope you have a great day, and we'll chat with you next time.